Alabama syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Ernie Yarbrough filling in once again for the one and only Phil Williams, live from the Right Side studio, local, state, national, all the issues, solid, conservative, and just plain right. It is my honor once again to join you here live from the studio, excited and fired up to be here as always, and excited for the future of our state, excited for the future of our country. Don't be at odds with that because, hey, you know what? We know who's on the throne. We know who wins. And all that lies at our hands is what we decide to do with the time that is given to us. You know, I was just actually down in South Alabama around Point Clear for a Manufacture Alabama conference. And, man, the sunset there over Mobile Bay was unbelievable. It was incredible. It was beautiful. I took some pictures, put it on Facebook, Alabama the Beautiful. And I just thought there, as the sun was going down there and just kind of dipping below the horizon of the water, I thought, wow, that's just like our lives, isn't it? We get this sun that rises and goes to its highest point, and as it goes down, the beauty and the power of seizing the moment, the carpe diem. And even as the sun goes down, the shadows that are there, but the light that's cast, the colors, our lives are powerful influencers, both for time and for eternity. So what a blessing to be here. What a day to be alive and to be fighting for what is good and right and true in the wonderful state of Alabama. Well, as we get rolling here today, we've got a monologue, as always, and a triple dipper. And so my opening monologue, which will tie into the first of the triple dipper, is called Men of the West, Arise and Stand Fast. So triple dipper is about restoring America through restoring manhood. So let's jump into this monologue here and let's get rolling. In the book of the Psalms, chapter 4 and verse 6, King David poses this timeless question and makes clear this profound fact when he says, "There be many that say, who will show us any good?" Now, when we look out at the political landscape of today's America and look at the questions being asked and priorities being emphasized, much has not changed. Health and healthcare, national security, financial prosperity, food supply, and comfort and ease are still top priorities being focused on by many of the human race today. What shall we eat? What shall we drink? How shall we defend ourselves and protect and promote our prosperity, comfort, and ease? Were questions being asked in King David's time. Who's going to show us any good? And they're still being asked today. Now, of course, these are in their own way, right? These are important and legitimate questions that need asking and answering. But interestingly enough, the rest of Psalm 6 doesn't roll out national policies and political strategies on these topics. Instead, in answer to these timeless questions, here's what David, a man who knew all too well the burdens and requirements of leadership and provision for an entire nation, here's what he focused on as his answer to such pressing needs. He went straight base. He went straight fundamental. We were just talking about bagpipes. Bagpipe. I was corrected by my teacher. Pipes, or bagpipe singular, has a fundamental note. I just picked up my first set. I'm learning to play the bagpipe, and I'm super excited about it. As y'all know, I love Scotland. So David, as it were, gets out his bagpipe, and he hits up on this fundamental note, on top of which all the other questions of what are we going to eat, national security, play on top of this fundamental note of godly character and of faith in the Lord. So David answers this question, hey, who's going to show us any good? What about my health care? What about my food stamps? What about my WIC? What about my taxes? What about my national? What about that wall and the border and all these things? David focused on six fundamental things, on top of which all the other notes of those questions get played. Number one, David called out for God to hear his cry in prayer and acknowledged that it was God that heard and answered him when he was in distress. Folks, we're in distress today, and we need, like David, to ask God for help. Number two, David challenged the sons of men to stop turning God's glory into shame by loving vanity, falsehood, and lies. At every turn, we see the opportunity to make a choice. Either we're going to love vanity, falsehood, and lies and make our lives all about that, or we're going to choose that which is substantial, is true, and stands the test of time. Number three, David reminded the nation that God sets apart for blessing those that pursue a godly lifestyle. That is, one that reflects the character and goodness of God. So obviously the discussions of law and morality and social order, all these things are tied into what people believe are moral values of right and wrong and what they are pursuing, their highest goals. God blesses those that pursue a lifestyle that reflects His goodness and His character. Number four, David called on the nation to stand in awe of the majesty of God and turn away from sin. He says, hey, it's good to get a little quiet time on our bed and in the stillness there, commune with the Lord, right? Seek the face of God. All right, David reminded us, number five, that the nation that God himself puts, he reminded the nation that God himself puts more gladness into our hearts than when the wine and corn of worldly men increase. What does that mean? That God himself is the greatest happiness, right? Now, when we say wine and corn of worldly men, we don't mean that it's bad to have, obviously, wine and corn increasing in your farms and your barns. Obviously, that's part of living life, right? But that kind of man was the man who put their all in the things that satisfy bodily cravings, and those kind of men who don't put any stock in the things of the soul, the delight of the mind, of the love of truth, and the passion of principle and freedom. And, you know, well, we see it in our founding documents, right? We see this passion for those who would pledge their lives, their fortunes, their sacred honor, right? That came before the concern for the wine and the corn and the provision, though, of course, obviously, those things matter too. And number six, last of all, he ends with a wonderful declaration that the man who is blessed of God, who's blessed of God and has his priorities straight, right? He's got that fundamental note, as it were, that bagpipe roaring that fundamental note. And then he's playing the other notes of life on top of that, right? And that man can lay down, get some good sleep, the end of Psalm chapter 4 says, and he knows that he can dwell in safety. Because God is the giver of personal and national security, right? So he lays out the necessity of a foundation for manhood. Now we're talking about men of the West, arise and stand fast. Now King David wasn't ignorant about social, political, and economic policies. He was a master at them. Just read his story. But it was because he remembered and lived by a truth that Western man once lived on, but has functionally ignored for far too long, that if the foundations of manhood are destroyed, debating over the color of the curtains or the placement of the furniture is all one and the same, kicking around and rearranging rubble and ruins. And so this brings me to the heart of my monologue. Feminism in America today has only been effective in diminishing strong men and manhood because men have allowed perverts, tyrants, and those very same feminists to have a controlling voice in the education of the minds of our sons and in the voice of our culture. And because men gave in to the temptation of fleshly ease and the abandonment of honor and the walls of duty. Phil had a great article about getting back on the walls in 1819. The walls of duty and freedom for the dens and caverns of simple pleasure and ease. Today, manhood is mocked or relegated to sports, alcohol, and promiscuity because men have allowed it to be so, and because those in power have a vested interest in keeping out of the minds of men the nature of true manhood and strength. But King David comes in clutch. Prayer to God Almighty, acknowledgement of God's deliverance, despising, trading God's glory for empty entertainment, all these things, communion with God, truth, righteousness, the things that men ought to reach for, David reminds us of. Men of the West, here is your call to lead. Here is your call to turn away not only from the castration of your manhood by feminism, but also the castration of your manhood through you accepting modern definitions and norms of manhood that isolate the billfold, the ball field, and the bedroom from the God who made you and calls you to himself. Men of the West, your chief end, your great design is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. And this is why modern political policies and prognosticators are doomed to failure. Man is literally made in the image of God. For modern man to then accept definitions, terms, and priorities that ignore, belittle, or minimize this reality is the same crazy thing as the idea that you can tax a nation into prosperity. It's absurd, immoral, and is doomed to failure. So, what are we to do? What are men to do? Now, of course, I'm not anti-women. I have a strong wife and am truly grateful for her keen insight, entrepreneurial endeavors, and passion for freedom. But America stands today in grave peril for one primary reason. the lack of foundational principles and leadership by her men. God calls men to lead and love and serve their wives, to lead and love and serve their families, to lead, love, protect, and serve the nation. All of these in particularly manly ways, ways that harken back to exactly the points that King David made in Psalm 4. The foundation of manhood is rooted in fearing and loving God, prioritizing prayer, pursuing a life that is modeled after the character of our Lord Jesus, remembering that God himself is a greater reward than success in the three B's, billfold, ball field, and bedroom, and that good sleep and national security ultimately depend upon the blessing of God. Get a chance, go read Psalm 127. This is the blueprint for men. Ironically enough, it is these same principles that bring blessing in our social, political, and economic policies. When men are right in the main, men plan and build according to who they are. When men are right in the heart, they become sound in the head and the hand, in the policies of their thought and the strength of their actions. In this battle, we men are the key. The men of America are the key to the blessing and restoration of this nation. But we didn't get here overnight. We must festina lente, make haste slowly. We are most certainly called to oppose the insanity, perversion, and treason of the Harrison Walls types of this world who want to see children mutilated and our nation flooded with illegal aliens and crime. But we are also dealing with the need as men to shape and mold the men of tomorrow and the men of today ourselves. This is an organic process that will require us to turn away from modern man's craze of sports, entertainment, and laziness, and sex without marriage, to a life of commitment to God, the family, and building for a day we will only see from the shores of eternity. This requires a renovation of the hearts of men, a divine operation. So we call out to God today and his only son Jesus to visit this land in the hearts of men with a renewal of repentance, humility, and selflessness, that we might in our heart, head, and hands lead. As goes the men, so goes the home and the nation. So, let's get out and vote come November. But let's not make the four-year plan the altar on which we sacrifice the 400-year plan. Men of the West, arise and stand fast. There are dragons to slay, damsels to save, and kingdoms to restore. But you, the man in the armor, you are the key to it all. Let that man be a man of foundations, and then all you build will be strong, prosperous, virtuous, and free. And that is the right side way.